Hi. Worship was just wonderful this morning. Hallelujah. God is good. I hope you feel that way this morning, right? Hallelujah. God is good. Before I start, I just want to remind everyone, you know, I have this thing here for Teen Challenge. You know, we usually get 20 gifts for them every year. And so I need someone to take this over. So if anybody wants to volunteer, I'm going to leave it here so they could take it over before we pass it out. So we need a volunteer. Might be you. Maybe God's calling on you to volunteer and as we help out Teen Challenge. This morning, you know, I have an update again, as always, so why don't we just take a moment and just see what God is doing in the body. What should I say now, Rob? Okay. It's okay.
Hello, Gospel Community Church. Pastor Ed, the family there. Just wanted to check in and give you guys an update how I'm doing. Praise the Lord. This has been a trial. Quite a process I never thought I'd go through. But the Lord is so faithful, and He has definitely given me everything I need to get through this. And the support system I need. I cannot thank you guys all enough for your prayers, cards, everything that you've done to help me throughout this whole process. I could not have done this without the help of my family, church friends, church family. The Lord really used each and every one of you, and I am very, very grateful. I don't know how to express gratitude. Feel like efficiently. But I am very thankful. Know that you were all part of this process with me. And praise the Lord, it's not over. I still have radiation to come, which should be a much less intense process, hopefully. But that'll take pretty much the month of December. And hopefully get done with all this treatment and everything and be back to work and full time by Christmas or by the beginning of the year at the latest. So praise the Lord. Thanks again. Love you all. Hope to see you soon. I'm trying to get down there early of next year and just really get to spend some time and some hugs and cries with all you guys have just been such a major blessing. All right, before I get any emotional, thank you guys very much, really. Love you all. Bye.
Shall gather over on the other shore, and the Lord.
Good. Okay, that's what's happening. That is what is happening here at Gospel. Now, before I guess we send the kids out, we did want to once again just honor our vets. You know, as always, you know, there's a new movie coming out about World War II. It's called Midway, and you get an opportunity to see what went on in World War II. And, you know, we want to be thankful to those who have served our country, because very often we forget our servicemen. We just forget them. Nobody goes to Memorial Day parades anymore, even veteran parades. And so maybe it's time that we continue to honor our vets. So if you're a vet, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, which one I have left out here? Marines, right. Actually, we lost a Marine last year, right? Probably the Marine of Marines. Hallelujah. Okay, why don't we just stand so we can honor you this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We certainly want to thank you guys for serving our nation. You know, if it wasn't for our vets, if it wasn't for our Army in general, you know what I mean by that, we wouldn't have the freedom we have today. And so we want to continue to remind ourselves of what they've given for our country. And so I would just remind you that if you have an opportunity to thank someone, especially when you see them, I like to go up to some of the men at Costco. If you go to Costco, you know, a lot of them like to, the older men like to wear their hats where they served. And it's good to go up to them and just remind them of, and thank them for their service. God is good. Okay, well, we want to start again this morning with continuing in our series here called Freedom. And we've been talking about freedom from. So for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about what we, I guess the kids are dismissed if they want to go out. Freedom from. What was the first one we had freedom from? Does anybody remember what we shared? Freedom from the, what? What do you have freedom from? Freedom from the law, right? You're no longer under the law. Second thing was freedom from sin and death. We are free from, that doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. Because the opportunity is there. The enemies are still out there. They want to tempt you. They want you to fall. World, the flesh, and Satan, of course. Those are our enemies. And but we can overcome because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You no longer have to fear sin or death anymore. You can be an overcomer. And so this morning we start on a new venture, if you will, another freedom. And, of course, I guess this is the freedom of androphobia. Androphobia. Does anybody know what that fear is? It's not the spiders now. Androphobia. The freedom from man. Good. The freedom from men or the freedom from man. So I'm going to make a statement. If you hold to the statement, if you believe the statement, then you can leave. Sermon's over for you. And that is this. We fear man so much because we don't fear God enough. Or we fear God so little. That's why we fear man. And it is only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man. And so, you know, when I think of these issues of fear, you know, as people, I mean, today in our world, there are so many people that are anxious. They have a fear of anxiety or a fear of rejection. All of these things that go on in our lives. And you know what the root cause of many of these fears are? It's self-love. We love ourselves. And because we love ourselves, we want everybody else to love us. And if they don't love us, or if we can't appease them, or if we can't do something to get their love, we start to fear in our hearts. And God wants to do something in our life. And so we're going to start as we start this morning here and at the church at Corinth that Paul wrote a letter to. And so let's just start. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so I ordain you, I, in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? By the way, that word there is also slave. So let's go back for a minute. It says, art thou called being a servant? Now, the King James translators decided to change that to servant. Actually, the word is slave. Are you called being a slave? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant or slave, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant or Christ's slave. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. And so Paul has said many things here. And so we want to start this morning by, first of all, looking at the context of what he was saying. You know, one of the basic reasons that Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthian church was because they were abusing the freedom they had received from God. Just like many churches today, even today, we see abuse of the freedom we have. Essentially, these Corinthians, who had found new freedom now, were abusing it. Corinth was a city of debauchery. It was a melting pot. It was, matter of fact, it was one of the most important cities in Greece at the time. It had tremendous trade, and yet there was great moral depravity. And they had idolatrous religion. All sorts of things were going on there at Corinth. And so we see that as these people entered the church, they brought with them much sin that was going on in their life. And because of that, without proper teaching, they would take freedom in this, if you will, salvation that received from the Lord. You know, the church, I know you've heard this expression, is not a hotel for saints, it's a what? A hospital for sinners. We were all sinners when we entered into the church. And God had to do some major work, and is still doing some major work in our hearts. And so this morning, as we analyze this issue of what was going on in Corinth, and really going on maybe in the hearts of people that are here this morning, we're going to take one scripture here that we're going to rebound off of, and that is Galatians. Because what Paul says here, he also said to the church at Corinth, and he's still saying today to us. As a matter of fact, this scripture, a lot of people like to take and misuse it. There is neither Greek nor Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. And so as we look at this, you know, again, the believers in Corinth knew this truth. They understood this truth in a sense. And yet they were still taking their freedom to the point of license. And so let me give you some examples where it says that there is neither male nor female. The response to this was they wanted to abolish their marriages. And that's what they started to do. They just walked away from their marriages there. And so Paul explains, actually, in the passage before this in Corinthians, about the fact that you can't abolish your marriage relationship. As a matter of fact, he said, rather, he said, because you're now saved, you can have victory and blessing in your marriage relationship. You know, I can remember some stories at the old gospel when we were at the old church. I can remember a woman who had gotten saved in her life. And once she was saved, she used to talk about the sins of her husband openly, just professing what was going on in his life. And somewhere along the way, we had to remind her, well, let me see, wait a minute. When you got married, both of you were on drugs, both of you were alcoholics, and God saw fit to save you. So what does that mean? Well, what does that mean? You're a spiritual elitist now? You're holier than thou? Or do you try to use your salvation now in a creative way to bring your husband? I mean, after all, that's what the scriptures say, right? And by the way, I've seen it also on the other side, too, with men. The same thing goes on. And so what Paul is trying to say here, listen, that's not what this means. That's not what I'm saying here. Then he says there is neither Jew nor Greek. You see, some of the Jewish converts, when they came in, they wanted to continue practicing their ceremonial laws and their rituals. And so Paul was trying to talk to them. Others felt that these rituals were useless and they wanted nothing to do with them. The Gentile converts, on the other hand, they wanted nothing to do with the Jewish faith because they looked at Jews as a despised people. You see, Rome had their own god or gods, however you want to look at it. I mean, after all, Caesar was their god besides all the other gods they had. And apparently this issue, if you will, was a serious matter in the church. And they needed to do something about it. The answer, Paul gives is direct and pointed. He says external rituals or traditions in religion do not matter. They do not save a person, and they do not make a person acceptable or unacceptable before God. I mean, after all, what really matters is what? What really matters, Chris? What really matters? The heart. This is what Jesus is after. Your heart, first and foremost. He's not after you doing something for him, because you can't do anything to get saved in the first place. He has done it all for you. You just need to receive what he's done. He saved you. And so he said in that scripture we just read that what do? We keep the Lord's commandments. Now right away we say, well, we're doing something. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you want to do what's right in the sight of God? Now that you've been born again, now that you've been washed in the blood, now that you're saved, by the way, if there's anybody here that doesn't understand these Christianese statements, it's okay. Hang in there. Now that you're all of that, your heart says, your new heart that you've been given says, I want to do what's right in the sight of God. I want to obey him. I want to do what's right. Then he says there's neither bond nor free. You know, Christian believers, I hope, are taught that we have to live our life for Jesus. That's what it's all about. You know, the more and more you read the New Testament, it's not about you. Oh, yeah, we get saved. This is a wonderful thing. We're on our way to heaven. But it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about what he does in your life. About what he wants to continue to do in your life. They didn't, as slaves now, as he was talking to the slaves, there were 50 million slaves or 65 million slaves in the Roman Empire at this time. And so as he's talking to the slaves here, of course, servants, in our time now, we would, here in America, we talk about those that are servants. You know, do you ever realize this, that you are really a slave to work? You have to work. You can't live without working. As a matter of fact, God even says that. He says, how many days do we work, by the way? Does anybody remember how many he says? Six. Oh, here in America, we only work five. As a matter of fact, if you're a union member, you want to work less and less and less. But we have been called to work 6 days, one day for rest. Called to work. Therefore, you're a servant to work, in essence. You're a servant to the boss you work for. Even if you have your own business, I hate to say it, you're probably a servant to the government because you got to pay them taxes anyway. But so the issue here is Paul is trying to drive this point home where he says, listen, serve Jesus. Serve Christ. You have to serve someone, so why not serve the Lord? He says, as a slave, if you're a slave and you can secure your freedom, then secure it. Go for it. Get your freedom. But there are two reasons he gives why the slave or servant is enabled to serve where he is. The first one, he says, is because he is the Lord's free man. Even though he's a slave, just like we all are to work, we are still the Lord's free man. We're free in Christ. Free in Christ. You don't have to worry about these issues. You're free in Christ. And then he says, if you're a believer, then you are serving Jesus, because that's where your heart should be, serving him. Therefore, the slave is just as equal to the one who's free. Just as equal to the one who's free. He receives the same equal reward as the one who's free. He's faithful as long as he remains faithful to Christ where he is, because he still can testify of what God has done. And by the way, at the very end of what we read there, he says the reason that we're free is because we've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus has redeemed us or bought us out of the slave market and has set us free. Free to serve Jesus. That's what we're free to do. Let me just point out one other thing, because it says here, it says that we're neither male nor female. Let's just go back there for a moment. And I would remind you that your sex doesn't change. You know, I this morning when I got up, I thought maybe I would curl my hair a little bit, look in the mirror, put on some lipstick on my lips, because I felt a little feminine, you know what I mean? So maybe I feel like I'm a woman today. I know we laugh at all of this, but you know, the world isn't laughing. at all out there. They're not laughing. They feel you can choose whatever gender you want to be, whenever you want to be it. There is a problem because God says there are only two, male and female. There are no others. That's it. And so you'll all realize now that when we go out into the world, you can't say this anymore, can you? Well, who are you going to fear? If you want to fear man, don't say anything. But if you're going to fear God, maybe you're going to have to speak up and say it in a loving way, but still say it. Because why? Because it's true. These things are true. God doesn't work from the outside in. He works from the inside out. That's how he always works. And so there's a principle. There's a principle here that we all need to understand, and that is this. Remain as you are and let God make the changes. And let me just give you some scriptures here. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. In other words, what God is saying, remain as you are, especially when you first got saved. Don't make radical changes to your lifestyle when you first get changed. Let God make the changes from within. He's the one that will start to produce the changes that are within you. Don't go out there and run around and thinking that you're free and you're independent, because you're not independent. As a matter of fact, you know, no Christian can be independent of other Christians. We're here. We're all in this together. That's why there's a church. That's why there are churches all over the world, if you will. People gathering together as a body, part of the big body, but part of separate, smaller bodies. But at the same time, Christians should not be dependent on anybody else either. Why do I say? I know some of you have had spiritual mothers and fathers. Matter of fact, how many of you remember your spiritual mother or father who might have brought you into the Lord and discipled you? Is anybody? So we have a few. You remember who you were and what had happened. But at the end of the day, you have to experience your growth. Your growth is on your own. It's not on your spiritual mother or father. It's not on the pastor. It's not on the leaders. It's you. You're the one that has to grow, and God will grow you. But he will do it. He will work it from the inside out. You are free, though, from the domination of people. And I need to also say that you're free from whatever, from the way they think. You don't have to worry about these issues anymore. And why is that? Well, he gives us four reasons, Paul. First of all, we're called by God. In eight of the verses we read, nine times he talks about being called. You're called of God. God knows where you've come from, and he knows where you're going. And he's called you. He has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. As a matter of fact, the word for the church is the word ekklesia in the Greek. It means the called out ones. We've been called out from the world. We've been called into his marvelous presence. We've been called to follow him. This does not mean that if you're offered a promotion at work, you don't go for it or you don't take it. You know what I would advise you, though, is what is the first thing you should do? Good. Maureen, nice and loud. Pray. You need to pray when you're offered a promotion. You know, not all promotions are good. So you need to pray about it. It says we've been assigned by God. You know this word assigned, distributed, means assigned by God. God has given you, if you will, he's given you your job. He's given you your gifts. God has given you your talents. And these have been distributed or assigned to you by God so that you might use it for his glory. So you've been called, you've been assigned, and notice too it says that we belong to God. Now do you believe that this morning, that you belong to God? That you're in the family of God? You really believe that in your heart? I mean, there are many who really are struggling with these issues, whether we belong to God. Let me remind you, the value that an object has is measured by the price you pay for it. If you like a diamond necklace, you're going to pay a lot of money for it, and there's a lot of value assigned to it. Well, can I say something? The greatest price in the world has been paid for you. Are you valuable? You are valuable to God. He's paid the highest price to redeem you from that slave market and to set you free. And sometimes we just, we pass this by. You know, I still remember, and I have it in my office. I remember the time when I first got saved. And we went into the bookstore that used to be here in Sable. Carol, what was her name? Carol, I forget whatever, who was running it. And there was this plaque on the wall. I know I've told this story a million times, but it's because it was real to me. I saw this plaque. When I saw this plaque, tears started running down my eyes. It says, and I have it in my office, God loved me so much that he opened up his arms and gave himself for me. That's how much God loved me. That's how much God loves you. That he gave his life for you. He paid the ultimate price so that you could be redeemed out of this world and be on your way to what we call heaven. And of course, the last thing it says, we should abide with God. You know, Paul concludes the statement. He says, let every man abide with God. If you're where God has placed you, if you're doing the job that God has given, by the way, the job that God, that doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. Doesn't mean you have to be a leader in the church. Wherever God has you, whatever your occupation is, that's where God has you. God wants to use you where you are. But the fear of man comes upon us so often. I got to be careful here. I got to be careful. Now, I'm not saying, listen, don't run around and start speaking about Jesus all day long on your job. I'm sure you're not going to last there very long. But on your lunchtime, on your breaks, you have the right to talk. And you should talk about Jesus if you have that opportunity. Or at least engage with other people and start to understand some of their problems. They're looking for someone, literally, to put their arm around, to pray with. So many things that are going on in this world. And so we've been saved. We've been set free so that we don't have to come under the fear of man. Let me just end now, you never end here, hallelujah, with the application. What does this all mean to us? Well, let's talk, how do we live out this truth about the fear of man? So here's the scripture. The fear of man bringeth a what? A snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. A snare. It's a trap. The fear of man will trap you. Yes, we're independent of people. But we must never say we don't care what they say. You know, we do care what they say. That's the only way we're going to engage them. We may not agree. We can agree to disagree. But in our society today, I don't know. I don't know what you see in our society. I don't see that going on anymore. We don't agree with someone, we're going to take out our sword, call them names, cut them up or whatever. But we have to understand as Christians, we can agree to disagree. I might not agree with the liberals that are out there, but there's still someone that Jesus paid the price to redeem them. So how is that going to happen if someone, some Christian, isn't engaging them, isn't talking with them? And so it says it brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. Well, first of all, it snares you to man. What do I mean by that? Let's look at these scriptures. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, that's what happens. When the fear of man overcomes us, we're afraid to confess Jesus. We're afraid to talk about him. Instead, we don't want to be put out of the synagogues. We would rather have the praise of men than the praise of God. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. That's what happens. When we become overcome by the fear of man, we fall into that bondage. We become slaves to the fear of man. You see it all around. That's why even with our kids, we have to raise them so that they don't have the fear among them. They're free. You know, one of the things that relieves sometimes the fear of man is if you have to come up here to sing or to give a testimony. I mean, you know, I remember when I went to school, one of the things that we did have a class on, I don't know if they have it anymore, is public speaking. So that you could get up in front of your peers and speak without fear in front of them. So often we're afraid to say something, except for women. I find they talk, it just comes out freely. just freely comes out. Am I saying the wrong things here, Rob? What do you think? The fear of man also ensnares you from God. It takes you from God. Let's read the scripture. Now, this story you all know. Listen to the story again, though. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's office. And Peter followed afar. They're talking about Jesus. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know not him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the same space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he spoke, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crows, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What happened? Peter fell into the fear of man. And here was Peter, the swashbuckler, if you will, right? He was the one that cut off Malice's ear. And yet here he is denying Jesus, as Jesus had predicted he would. I think one of the reasons why this happens, again, when we're into religion, if that's all you have is religion, then you will find that when push comes to shove, you will deny Jesus. But if you've been born again, if the Spirit of God is within you, and it wasn't in Peter yet, it was yet to happen, I think that you'll see that you'll be able to overcome the fear of man. As a matter of fact, listen to what Jeremiah says. You know, one of the things I find sometimes is people, there's one guy on the radio who is constantly always talking about the new covenant. And by the way, we are under the new covenant. But that doesn't mean that we disregard what the Old Testament says. And this is what it says here in Jeremiah. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from God." It says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. If you're putting your trust in man, I think Jeremiah is saying, you're doing the wrong thing. As a matter of fact, you're falling into the snare. You're falling into the trap. It's time to come out. And the last thing now in the fear of man is this. It snares others through you. I have a whole bunch of scriptures, so bear with me here. Just listen to them. "Howbeit no man spoke openly of him," of Jesus, "for fear of the Jews. These words spake his parents." Now this is a man who had been blind and now received his sight. "These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." Here's another one. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus." Notice all of these people, the main concern is they were what? They feared the Jews. And I have one more. No, I have two more. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, Peace be with you." And one more here in Matthew. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And so that's the whole issue. You see, when we start to fear man as a Christian, we snare others to do the same thing. Because we don't have the righteous shall be bold as a lion, the scriptures say. Bold as a lion. Yes, we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. But we're to be bold as lions. Don't let the fear of man overcome you. It's now in our nation as never before. This is the time to stand for those things that you stand for. And the greatest thing, you know, when Greg was saying about entourage, that we're following one man. Forgive me here, Greg. We're not following one man. We're following the greatest man that ever lived on earth, because he is the God-man, all God and all man. I'm not following some man. I want to follow Jesus. That's what Paul said. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus. That's who we want to follow. Do you know there was a time in our country when Time magazine used to put on their cover, the man, the greatest man on earth? Well, they started that way. You know who won all the time? Jesus. The votes were incredibly skewed one way, always to Jesus. So they changed it. We can't do that anymore, you see, because we can't put Jesus on the cover of our magazine. Just can't do that. It's not politically correct. So let's make it the man of the century, the man of the last century. And so they did that. Who do you think won? Because the people wouldn't give up. They knew what they were doing. Jesus kept winning, winning and winning and winning, because he is the champion. He is the one we want to follow. Sometimes, though, we get enslaved to the commandments of men. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. You know, we've all seen this. Whatever church you came out of, whatever it was, and by the way, just so we understand this again, you know, this is just a building. That's all it is. Gospel Community Church is just a name. It's not really the church. The church are the people. It's not a building. It's not an organization. That's not what the church is. The church is the people. And so when some organization wants to teach you something differently than what's in the scriptures, you need to stand back and say, whoa, what's going on here? What is this all about? That's not what the scriptures say. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow the word of God. But people do get enslaved to the commandments of men. We're warned about the praise of men. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his name, him you will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, we all know we need to be affirmed and we need to be loved, don't you? Is that what you desire in your life? Don't you desire for people to love you and affirm you? Well, that might not happen in this world. As a matter of fact, maybe your own parents have said things to you. But I can tell you one thing. God loves you. God loves you beyond measure. You don't need anybody else to affirm that you need love when God loves you. That's why you don't have to worry about the fear of man anymore. You don't have to worry about the praise of men. Forget the praise of men. I know sometimes here we get trophies for our softball teams, don't we? But you know something, in reality, you know, we don't need the trophy. That's not what it's all about. We don't need the praise of men. Sometimes we need to beware of the authority of men. For I am not seeking the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a what? Did he receive it? Through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And I would profess to you that those of you out here thinking that somehow you came to God through some way, whatever it was, at the end of the day, if you will really consider what God has done, you will see that the reason you know anything about Jesus is because you have received a revelation from God. The Spirit of God continues in you to reveal more and more of the truth in you. That's what God has come to do, to continue to reveal. The Spirit of God has come to reveal the truth in you. You need to beware of the wisdom of men. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Again, it's not man's wisdom. It's not someone who's charismatic. It's not someone up here wants to dance around and speak in tongues so that you can look at him as some spiritual giant. That's not what it's about. It's about the wisdom of God. And by the way, the Spirit of God wants to show you the wisdom of God. Pastor Ed up here doesn't have to teach you anything. Matter of fact, I probably can't teach you anything. The only way you're going to learn anything at all about God is through a revelation by the Spirit of God. And so, at the end of the day, don't bow down to human commandments and traditions. It's time to break them. Don't live for the praise of people. Don't live under the dictatorial authority of people. You don't have to do that. Be careful that people are not running your life, or even your ministry for that matter. And watch out for the wisdom of people. Don't fear people. Remember, you've been bought with a price, and that price was precious to God. It was His Son's life. And because of that, you were loved, greatly loved. No one could love you more. And so, again, we're talking about freedom. We've been freed from the law. We've been freed from sin and death. You've been freed from the fear of man. We're going to go on and on and on. At the end of the day, are you free? You are free. So we're trying to learn what we're free from. So once we understand what we're free from, we can learn what we're free to do. And we'll get into that sometime down yonder. Okay, God is good. All right, we have a packing party today, a wonderful packing party. I hope many of you can stay and help. I think they want to, certainly there are 1,400 boxes that need to be packed as we approach whatever, the 2,000 mark. God is good. Father, again, as always, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. As we stand before you this day, to know that we are loved, we are called, we are chosen, we are a peculiar people, but yet greatly loved. And so we thank you this morning. Bless your people. Bless what will go on next door again as we gather together in fellowship, rejoicing, knowing that these shoe boxes are going somewhere overseas to bless some child who has nothing and is waiting for a gift from Jesus. And so we do thank you now as we just end this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.